Oh, we thank you for victory, our Father. We thank you that Jesus paid the price and we have victory and we walk free, free of disease, free of trauma. We walk in your peace beyond understanding. Our eyes are on you, and we thank you. Every single person here is anointed to hear what they need to hear today, and we leave here sensing and knowing the victory that's paid for, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now shout a minute because you have victory. It's not that you see victory. You have it. You have it. You have it. You have it. You know, Wayne used to be an odd size, and we ordered his trousers from New York. You remember trousers, right? Everybody remembers trousers. And when we called, because we ordered a lot, we had a number. I said, "This customer 102," and she'd say, "Hey, Miss Cumby, how are you?" Because computers are very smart. And I told her what I want, and she'd say, "We have that in stock. It will be shipped tomorrow." Now, we have a post office box, so every 2 or 3 days we'd go to the post office looking for the trousers, because they were paid for and they belonged to me. And I hadn't seen them. I had not seen them. But the lady said that they were paid for. She always says, "Is your credit card number the same?" And they're paid for, and they'll go out tomorrow. And so I'm looking for them. I have not seen them. I don't have the manifestation of them. See, your healing is paid for. Amen. I don't care how you feel or how you look. It's paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for. It's paid for. And you have it whether you feel like it or not. Now, last week we talked about Satan and the beginning of Satan. That's in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. And the CDs we've given you are on that subject. When Satan was created, it says he sealed up the sum. Now, you know how to seal up a sum. Thank you, dear. When you add 1 and 1 and 3 and 4, you draw a line and you seal up that sum. You add all that together and you have the bottom line. That's what that sum is. And in Bible language, it means he was the most magnificent. He was the ultimate. He sealed up the sum, and it says he was beautiful. You know how to add? Do you remember how to add? 1, 2, 3. Right here. This seals up the sum. That's the ultimate. He was the ultimate of God's creation. He was the bottom line. He was the bestest. You know that word? Yes. I was raised in Auburndale, so that's what you get. He was the bestest. Now, he's called the King of Tyrus. Tyrus is a city on the Mediterranean. There's a lot of history about Tyrus. If you're one of those people that likes that, you go to a Bible. Do you have a Bible dictionary? Mm-hmm. Okay, you can go and look that up. And it's Tyre or Tyrus. And it tells you all about the city, and there's a lot of history of that city. And so the head of that city was called the Prince of Tyrus. And it's interesting that when we read Ezekiel 28, the Prince of Tyrus had the same characteristics as the King of Tyrus, who was Satan. The King of Tyrus was Satan. It said he was rich, he was beautiful, he was wise, and it said he was perfect and the ultimate of God's creation. Now, how do you like the word perfect? I'd like it if it were me. My mother intended me to call Becky Sue. That didn't ever happen. It should have happened in Southern culture, but it didn't. And she'd say, "Becky Sue," that meant you were just less than perfect. You could tell by the tone of her voice that you didn't measure up to something. Well, he was perfect. Now, when you go to the head of the government of Tyrus, everything that's said about Satan is said about him. It says he was beautiful, and it said he was lifted up because of his beauty. That's what happened to Satan. He's not as good looking as I am, as smart as I am, as rich as it said he had merchandise. Means he was a great trader and he could make money. Well, that's what the Prince of Tyrus, the head of government, thought. How did he get that idea? Now, in Isaiah 14, Satan said, "I will be like God. I will exalt my throne. I'll sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the size of the north." That means somebody else was already sitting there. And who do you think that was? God himself. Well, the head of government of Tyre said, "You know what? I'll just be God." Where did he get that idea? He got it from Satan. Because Satan comes to influence your mind. And he brings ambassadors, you know, with flesh on them. to influence your mind. Now, you will never see Satan in a red suit with a pitchfork. Sometimes they used to have on a three-piece suit with a tie. I had something wrong with my eye years ago, and I went to the doctor that Wayne flipped metal into his eye. And this doctor was very helpful to him, so I went, he was going to look at my eye, see what was wrong with it. And I did not know him, but Wayne knew him. And so when I came out, Wayne said, well, how did you like him? I said, I loved him. He said, what'd you like about him? I said, he had on a white shirt and a tie. You know, I'm just old school, and I love shirts and ties. Well, Wayne gave up his tie. Still wears his shirt. That's the good news. Satan had been influencing that old boy. Now, here's where you lose. He listened. He listened. It doesn't have to be. It can be a person. It can be a TV program. It can be a movie. It can be your body. Has your body ever spoken to you?
It
says, you're in pain, you're in pain, you're in pain, you hurt, you hurt, you hurt. This is not working, this is not working. I had a sciatic nerve dilemma. I've had two or three dilemmas in life, and that's the most painful one I've ever had. Awful, excruciating pain, and Wayne would pack me in ice every day so that I could be somewhat comfortable and get up in the middle of the night and bring more ice. Because it was so painful. You get where you listen to that. Your body says, you're getting worse, you're getting worse. It's painful, this is painful, you're getting worse. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So they gave me a drug. And they said it would take away the pain, but I got news for you. You need to pray over your drugs. You need to be sure that's what you want to do. Well, it didn't take away the pain, it took me totally away. I was totally gone. Here's this man who's head of government, who's listened to Satan, who has accumulated by listening, the characteristics of Satan himself. He's become like Satan. Satan said, I'll just sit in God's place. And this ruler of the country said, I'll just be God. And the scripture, Ezekiel 28, says, you're not God, you're just a man. Now, Satan was created. This man was born because he's human. Now, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, Satan has sinned. He's no longer perfect. He doesn't seal up the sum anymore. And he comes to Eve in the state of his sin, in the state of his fallenness. And he says, what was it God told you? Did he tell you? See, he's working to contradict what God has said, to remove the word of God from her mind and her heart. And he said, did God say you couldn't eat of all the trees of the garden? Like, really? What a stupid idea from God. And she said, oh, no, we can eat all the trees but one, and we can't touch it now. Don't add to what God said. There's no record God said we can't touch it. It's not in there. She said that. God didn't say that. She said, we can't touch it or we will die. And he said, now he's got her. She's listening. You won't die. You'll be like God. Whose dream was that? Satan's dream. That was his dream. That's what he thought. That's what he wanted. I'll be like God. He planted his dream in her. And she listened. She listened. And she shared with Adam. Now in Genesis chapter 2, God talked about the trees when he created them. Verse 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the eyes and good for food. God said it was good to look at and it was good food. So when she repeated God in verse 6 in chapter 3, the woman saw that it was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, she should have just put a period there and moved on with her life because that's exactly what God said. But she added what Satan said. Oh, yeah, and it'll make you wise. Now, listen to me. That tree was not the tree of wisdom. It was the tree of knowledge. And because you have knowledge doesn't mean you're equipped to win. Knowledge is accumulation of facts and data. I mean, you can quote the facts, you know. I know the books of the Bible. We learned them when I was a little girl. I was raised in church. But if you give me some odd book like Nahum, I have to start at Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. I have to get where it is because I just have knowledge. I don't have real understanding. Understanding is when you can explain what you know. You can give explanation to it. Somebody asks you about it, you can say, well, that's one of the minor prophets, and it's over at the end of the book, in between this book and that book. But when you have wisdom, he promised her wisdom. When you have wisdom, you can make a finished product. You can take the facts that you know, the knowledge, and you can take the understanding, the explanation that you can give, and you can put them all together and come up with a finished product. That's what he promised her. Now, God said that's a tree of knowledge. He didn't say it was a tree of wisdom. The devil says the tree of wisdom will give you wisdom. So you have to be very careful when you're listening. People represent the kingdom of Satan, that some represent, all, most of us represent the kingdom of God. All of us represent the kingdom of God. You see that? She added to what God said. When I teach ministry students, which I've done over the years a number of times, they always want to know something that's not written. One lady in a place of business said, your card says you teach Bible. I said, I do. She said, oh, my husband, I've been discussing. We have to know where Cain got his wife. As if that's a critical point of theology. I said, we do not know, the Bible did not say. She went, what we need to know. I said, well, I can't tell you because God didn't say. We can't add to the book. We take the book and we internalize it. And the Holy Spirit who dwells in the human spirit, he begins to explain it to us. Now, she is going to fall into spiritual death. Do you see in chapter 2, it says, verse 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the devil only told her half-truth. He said, you'll know good and evil. You'll be wise. You'll know good and evil. He didn't tell her she would be captured by the evil and not be able to get out of that jam. He didn't tell her but half of it. Now it says, you'll know the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day you eat, thou shalt surely die. Now this is important. When are you going to die? The day you ate. When are you going to die? The very day you ate. And how long did Adam live after this? 930 years. He did not die that day. Because we say physical death, and this is not physical. This is the death of the spirit man, which is separation from God. In other words, they took on Satan's nature. Because they, what was the problem? They listened. Now, if you tell me something I can't hear, I'm going to say, how's your dog? I've never been caught on that, but one time one lady said, did you just change the subject? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, oh. I can't watch TV if it contradicts the Bible. I can't watch a movie if it contradicts the Bible. I can't listen to my neighbor if he contradicts the Bible. I have to stick with the Word of God. Now look at 2 Corinthians 10. Is it 10? I believe it is 10. We used to sing, and my daddy was a church musician, and I was there when choruses first began. They departed from the hymnal occasionally and sang some choruses, and we used to sing, back to the Bible, back to the Bible, back to the Word of God. You don't know that one? Y'all weren't in church in the 50s? We were. Miss Melinda and I were there. Where were y'all? Well, anyway, he said, verse 3, chapter 10, we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, you can't win a war listening to your flesh. And your flesh is going to say, that hurts, that hurts, that hurts. Not working, not working, not working, not working, not working. And your doctor's going to help you. He's going to say, well, we're going to change your medication because that other one's not working. And all you can hear is not working, not working, not working. We don't walk the war. Satan lost the battle. He lost. He was defeated. Scripture says he was paralyzed. He was disarmed. If a policeman disarms somebody, it takes away their weaponry and they have no way to win. He was disarmed. He was paralyzed. He said he was spoiled. If something's spoiled in the refrigerator, you throw it out, you don't eat it. He's been fully, completely defeated. And yet he's at war with us. And how does he come to you? The same way he came to Eve, he has to come and convince you. He has to come to your mind. And he'll repeat something over and over. Now, Ephesians says, neither give place to the devil. You know what that means? He didn't have a place till you gave it to him.
That's right.
So don't give. Now, I'm not an award-winning cook. I'm a good cook, and I don't particularly care for hospitality and a multitude of guests, but that happens. And according to my mother's tradition, we always fix exceeding abundantly above. Because somebody always brings somebody with them. I don't know if they do that in your family, but they do that in ours. And so we're prepared with exceeding abundantly above. We're prepared with extra. But when they call and say, you know, I'm bringing so-and-so, I said, okay, come right on. And then I have to go grab a plate and reset the table. Because I didn't know he was coming. I didn't have a place for him. You do not have a place in your heart for Satan. Your heart belongs to God. And Satan's got to convince you to turn loose of what you know about God and to accent and to repeat over and over again what he's told you. That's why the first lesson we taught in healing school, which was 20, 25 years ago, I guess, I didn't teach it. Pastor came and taught it, and his title was, "You're Gonna Die, So What?" Because the minute I focus on death, Satan's got a hold of me.
That's right.
And that fear will prevent faith from functioning. Faith and fear cannot function. I've got to keep myself in the Word of God. Now look where we were. We walk not after the flesh. We war not after the flesh. In other words, my body is not smart enough to tell me what to do or where I am with God. You knew that. Go back and get your report cards and look at them. And then you'll know. I don't know why you think you can fight with your mind today, because you couldn't fight with it yesterday. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh. You know, carnivores, flesh-eating animals, carnal is always of the flesh. But, probably should be in capital letters, mighty through God to the pulling down a stronghold. Now, if we're pulling down a stronghold, we're not pulling down... that's a fortress. We're not pulling down a fortress that God built. Why would we do that? That's dumb. If God built it, we're going to stand behind the wall that God built and shout, "Hallelujah, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him." Are y'all know that hymn? Miss Melinda, if you weren't here, we'd be sunk. Miss Doris knew all the hymns, and she's gone to be with the Lord. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down. We're pulling down a stronghold that Satan built. And the reason Satan could build a fortress in your mind is because you listened. You listened. Well, it's hard not to listen. Now, I'm more of a listener than a talker. You wouldn't know that because this is all you see of me. But I'm an introvert, and... I'm a great listener, and I go, we have world championship talkers in our family. Suzanne and I are not of that league, but we have some that, and I go, really? Now say that again? It's not that I want to hear it again. I want them to think I'm listening. I want them to think I'm focused. And Wayne talks to me about the electronics all week. We're talking about the equipment that didn't work and what do we do and what do we order and do we do this or that? And I'm going, well, what do you think? Because I don't have an opinion. I don't think anything. I don't know anything about equipment. I type the newsletter once every 2 months and I have to have them come tell me, now, how do we get on the right page to type here? Because in 2 months' time, I forget because I'm not of the mechanical electronic league. Now it says... There's strongholds. There are things in our mind. And you know how they got there? You listened. You just flat listened to them. And you listened and you listened until they built a stronghold or a fortress in your mind. And he says, pull that down. And then he says, cast down imaginations. That's the word to reason also. It's of the mind, those things that are of the mind. Well, we wouldn't cast them down if they were valuable, would we? Now, I went one day. Wayne's mama had the most phenomenal pound cake. She was a Georgia cook, and she didn't write down any recipes. So I'm going to go and observe, and I'll figure this out. So she makes lots, and I know she didn't measure anything. She throw things together. And then she put her hand in and went, needs another egg. Well, I just said, how long is this going to be in the oven? I'm going to go home. We live across the field. We live on family acreage. She lives on one end. She did live. She's in heaven. And we lived on the other end. So I'm going to go home and do a couple things and come back when it comes out of the oven. See, I'm not dumb. I couldn't figure that out. I tried that a couple of times. I'd mix it up by the recipe and I go, there are some things that Satan wants you to buy into. He's going to repeat them to you like he did to Eve. Now, what did God say? Oh, no, you won't die. But physical death was a result of spiritual death. Disease was a result of physical death. And the fact that it took Adam 930 years to die tells you how little stronghold disease had. Over time, it gained ground. Oh, and it has plenty of territory today. Now, cast down. When you cast down, you throw something down. You just throw it down. And this is not like fishing. You don't throw your reel out there, and after a few minutes, you say, well, roll it back in. No, when you cast this down, this is permanent. Deliberate, intentional, and on purpose. Don't pick that back up. Well, because I have all kinds of paperwork when I study, and everything we've taught is on file and outlined. And so sometimes I'm looking at to see how I did this last time I taught it. And I get it mixed up with my papers that I'm going to throw away. So what I do, I wad up my paper I'm going to throw away and I just throw it in the floor. So when I finished studying, I got these wads of papers all over the floor. And I'm okay, those were cast down. Those weren't necessary. I don't need any of those. And I pick them all up and throw them in the garbage can. So it's cast down. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If God didn't say it, get rid of it. Now, my mother was only into green. Green, and her house had always been green. It had been lime green. I mean, you know, get your picture? Lime green. So one day, my daddy called me. He said, I had the house painted. I want you to come look. I want you to come. We picked out a new color. I said, okay. I'm living in Lakeland now. We've been married a number of years, and I'm going over to check out the new color. And I could see it before I got two blocks down, I think. Huh, that looks green to me. And Daddy said, oh, no, that's a new color. Well, it wasn't as limey as it had been. It was more on the mint side, but it was basically in the same family. See, it doesn't matter how close you think it is. If it's not God, it's not right. And you can't digest it, and you can't repeat it. Now, somebody's going to ask you, they always do, how do you feel?
Yep. Yep.
So I say, the Lord is working. Mm-hmm. And if I don't say that, I repent quickly. Excuse me, Lord, I wanted to say I feel terrible. That's what I wanted to say. Or that's what I did say. I've got to digest the Word of God. The entrance of His Word is where faith comes from. Faith in the healer and in what He did for you and in His shed blood comes from the Word of the living God. And if I digest any other word, I'm going to back off, remove myself from what faith was beginning to function. Faith is vocal. It comes through your mouth. But it can't come through your mouth if it's not in your heart. So when I realize... Well, when Wayne and I came into Pentecost, we were raised denominationally. I never heard of Pentecost. I mean, I read because we read our Bible through, but that was just a group of people speaking different languages. It didn't mean anything at all to me. So when we went in that direction, we found out we had to say the right thing. Well, that was a surprise. You know, we were raised on sticks and stones will break your bones and words will never hurt you. Do you know that's a lie? Do you know your vocabulary will make you or break you? You can't say anything you want to. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk to your doctor. Please. Just don't get crazy here. Well, Wayne said to me one day, I was telling something, blah, 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 blah. And he said, would you like to state that another way? And I said, give me a minute. Yes, I do want to repeat that differently. So I went to only high school reunion I went to. That's just not my thing. I don't like crowds. You like them? You have a wonderful time. I tell you all the time, we are not alike. We do not have to be alike. We have to all embrace the Word as it is written. but your personal preferences are not up to me, and they don't have to match mine. You eat fish, I'm not eating it. It stinks. Well, I ate some overseas because you have to, whatever they feed you, that's what you eat. So I have eaten fish. Well, I went to the reunion. This fellow started talking to me, and I remembered. I happened to remember his name. It was amazing that after all those years, many, many years, I remembered who his name was. I just thought, I was so proud of him. I thought, I actually remember who you are. I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking he's talking about something. And he said, oh, my gosh, I didn't say that right. How am I supposed to say that? And I said, have you been going to a Pentecostal church? He said, how'd you know that? I said, the only people on the planet have to talk right. That's the truth. He said, well, my wife made me go. And I said, oh, I'm so proud of her. Please continue to go with her. I thought, you know, he might catch on. Cast down imaginations, every high thing, exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the be. Every thought has to obey God. Now, don't tell me you haven't had a disobedient thought, because everybody has. Every thought. Now look at Ephesians 6. So this is hard. The benefits far outweigh the difficulty. Verse 12, chapter 6. Well, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles. That's the strategies, the plans of the devil. He has plans. He has strategies. And all he needs of you is your ear. He just needs you to listen and then blab. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, I'm not your enemy. Nobody's your enemy. It's not the person in the flesh. It's the spirit that they listen to, that they're trying now to get you to listen to. They want you to join them in branching out from the word. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, this world, spiritual wicked in high places. That is Satan's team. It goes from the bottom up. The principalities have very little to say. They obey orders. The powers give orders to the principalities. And the rulers of the darkness, the rulers are those in our world who rule, who take over, who give directive. And that's as high as we can go in rebuking. The spiritual wickedness in high places is on God's team. He's the one that does those. But you have to stand against the rulers. And it says, take the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand it in the evil day. It doesn't say you won't ever have a bad day. So the evil day, having done all, to stand. In other words, when I get through talking, I was standing when I started. I was standing when you started blabbing. I was standing when you start giving me thoughts and imaginations that I had to cast down, pull down, and get rid of. And when you get through with me, I'm still standing. Still standing. It's amazing, isn't it? Now it says, I have the belt of truth. Where does truth come from? It comes from the Word of God. It comes from God Himself. So I'm listening to what God said, and I'm repeating and saying what God said. Oh, I don't feel like it's working. Your feelings have nothing at all to do with it. And then it says, I have on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is being fully acceptable to God. It comes to you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, all of this weapon is available to you. It's yours now. It's yours today. And then he says, your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Let me tell you what that says. You're not supposed to be barefoot. If you're not in peace, you don't have your gospel shoes on. Because when I'm wearing my gospel shoes, I'm just like, peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. It's Isaiah 26:3. Fathomless billows of peace. You're not supposed to be barefoot. You're supposed to be at peace, clothed in the gospel and walking in peace. Well, have you ever walked in distress? Or am I the only one?
No.
The shield of faith. Where does faith come from? The word. All of these weaponry come down to what God is doing and has done and gives to you. He said, here you are. Take this shield. It's faith. And what delivers you and sets you free? Faith. Where does faith come from? The truth of the word. And what have you got on your feet? Peace. And where does perfect peace come from? Thou wilt listen, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Peace comes from, I'm always focused on God. Always focused. And then it says, the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. It doesn't say Satan won't work you over. It doesn't say he won't come against you. It doesn't say you won't have a difficult day. It says you have the armor to win. When this difficult day is over, you're still on your feet. Now, if you look at Psalms 1, are y'all all right? Psalms 1, verse 1 is progressive. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly. This word I'm walking in is not God. It's not what God said. It's not the word of God. The entrance of God's word. The entrance of God's word has to be entered into my mind, into my heart. It says, walks not. Now, if I'm downtown and I just walk by and I say, hey, I'm not stopping. I'm just waving. I'm just acknowledging that you're there. I'm just walking by. Just walking by. But what if it says, nor stands in the way of sinners. Okay, I'm going to stop. Instead of just walking by, I'm going to stop and we're going to talk. These are people not talking about the word, not letting the word enter. Now, I'm hearing from you and you're hearing from me. And if you're not on and I'm not on, if I'm off and you're off, we're standing in a poor place. We're not standing in victory. Victory in Jesus. Victory in who?
Jesus.
And he's the what? He's the word. And then it says, and here's the clincher, nor sits. You were in bad trouble. You were okay if you walked by. When you stopped and stood and began to talk to me, okay, you're beginning to be in the wrong place. Because I'm not going to tell you any truth. But when you sat down and we sat down on the park bench, I made myself a candidate for loss. If you don't tell me the truth. Can you see the progressive? I have what we call an anointed wave because I'm not one to stand and talk. Wayne's a talker. Our son's a talker. Suzanne and I let them do all the talking. That's how that works, isn't it, Suzanne? And so one day I had Ashley, that's my granddaughter. She's fixing to be 30 this month, shortly. And Wayne went into Lowe's, and he went into Lowe's, and I had Ashley. She's a little girl. She's sitting in the back seat. She's already caught on to life. Life with he's D to her. Life with D. And she said, Memes, you're not going with him? I said, no, I'm going to sit right here, and he'll be back in a minute. She said, oh, he will never come out. You cannot. He wasn't talking to the devil, by the way. You cannot talk to the devil. You cannot listen to him. You cannot heed him. You got that?
Yes.
So you've got to listen to the word of God. Now look at Proverbs 4. Now Wayne's usually on some kind of equipment. Suzanne's always got her ears plugged up, listening to something. And I'm just talking. Do you think they're hearing a word I said? Not a single solitary word. And I said, Wayne, come here. And he doesn't even know I said that. So I take my hand, I pull those things out of his ear. I said, Wayne, I'm talking to you. He said, oh, okay, what was it? You need to listen to the word of God until you know what God said. Till it's not, now what was God said? And repeat that to me. What was that? What? If it's a scripture that helps you, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on your steering wheel, put it somewhere. But put it in where you can put it in your heart. Because you're going to win with the word. The word people are winners. The word people are winners. People who let their minds drift. Do you know people that are organized to the nines? Do you know those people? Are you one of those people? Well, they're their worst enemy. Because they have to do this on Monday, or they have to do this before they can do that, and they have to go here and buy this today, and the fact that they're so organized and so keyed in sometimes prevents them from having any fun in life. But when it comes to the Word of God, You need to be on your toes and organized.
Amen.
Now it says, verse 20, my son, attend to my words. In other words, stay focused. Pay close attention. The word brings life. It brings light. Incline your ear to my sayings. You see, words, sayings. Words, sayings. You're going to be focused on the word, and you're going to listen carefully. Incline your ears. Listen carefully. Well, let them not depart from your eyes. Watch the word closely. Listen to it. Watch it. Pay close attention. Keep it in the... That's the purpose. You're doing all that to put it in your heart and to guard it in your heart. And to know, no, this is what God said. That is not what God said. This is what God said. For they, the life and the sayings, the thing you're playing carefully, the thing you're listening to, the thing you're watching, they are life to those that, what? See that word? Find them. In other words, I don't know everything. Sometimes I don't know what I used to know. Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, yes.
You don't have to admit it, but it has happened, hasn't it? You ever open the refrigerator and you're standing with the door open, you don't know why you're there? Huh?
Yes.
You've got to digest the word and find it, and you've got to place it in the inner resources of your spirit. For it's life and it's what?
Health.
Not healing.
Health.
Healing's wonderful. Healing's provided, but it's health. Mm-hmm. It means this affliction shall not arise a second time. Nahum 1:7. God's made an utter end. This affliction shall not arise a second time. God's made an utter end. Now, did I feel like it ended? No, I was in pain. But God said it was ended. And what dominates my life and brings me victory? The Word of the living God. It's my health. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, you got to guard your heart. A man asked me one day, do you think the brain leaks? I said, absolutely positive of it. Sometimes I know that. I can't remember what it was. I've heard that. So you've got to guard your heart and guard the word. That means you have to go over it and over it and over it and over it. So thank God, this is a victory that overcomes the world. My victory overcomes the world. Satan's been defeated and the word of God overcomes. In my world, I walk in victory because I don't honor Satan. I don't honor his word. I keep looking at the word of God and keep saying, God said, but God said, but God said, but God said, but God said. Now, one day, Joel came home from the bus stop. It was a mile or so away, and I used to drive him over there, and then he and Suzanne would walk home in the afternoon. And he came home covered with sand spurs. Some damage had been done. And he was just a little boy, and he was probably 11 or 12. And he was in despair. And do you know that, what happened when you listen to Satan, when you let him pull his tactics on you, you fall into despair.
Amen.
So I called the little kid's mother. When she answered the phone, I realized she doesn't speak English. So I said, this is Joel's mother. And your son and the other boys at the bus stop, and your son was the leader, has rolled Joel in the sand spurs. His back is damaged, is cut up, and he will be fine. But I wanted you to know that I will not have that kind of behavior. Do you know that's what God has to say to you sometimes? I want you to know God will not have that kind of behavior. There's no victory in that kind of behavior. Well, she didn't know what I said because she didn't speak much English, and I thought, boy, that was a waste of time. But you know what? God solved that.
Amen. Amen.
All she knew was something about her son, and she must have questioned him. And see, you know who you need to question? Don't question me. Question yourself. I said, is that really true, Becky? Is that really right, Becky? Shh. Victory in Jesus. Victory's in the Word.
Yes.
Victory's come of standing in the Word. Victory comes with casting down any imagination, any stronghold. See, all those words of Satan build a fortress. It has to be torn down. It's easier not to build a fortress than to tear one down. You got that? We thank you, Father, for the power of the living Word of God. Let it be planted so deeply in our heart Let us find the part that really registers to us and go over it and over it and over it and pull down those thoughts that we keep thinking. If you think them long enough, Lord, we're going to speak them. Pull all that down and build a fortress in the name of Jesus that honors the King of Glory and protects our heart. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.